Let us join in the spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, and may the thoughts, the meditations, the reflections of this year congregation find acceptance and pleasure in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. A minister was making a home visit to one of the younger families in his parish. A 5-year-old boy answered the front door and told the minister his mother would be there shortly. Well, to make some conversation, the minister asked the little guy what he would like to be when he grows up. The boy immediately answered, "I'd like to be possible." "What do you mean by that?" the puzzled minister asked. "Well, you see," the boy replied, "just about every day my mom tells me I'm impossible." And with the psalmist, you may be thinking, out of the mouth of babes. Jesus' popularity was continuing to rise. People, especially the common rural population of Galilee, were taking note of him, talking about him, his words, and his miraculous deeds. And they wanted to be around him, to be near him, even to touch the fringe of his garment. So when Jesus set sail with his disciples across the Sea of Galilee, a distance of 8 miles or so, people on the shore who saw him embark with his disciples decided that they would walk around the lake to where they imagined that Jesus would disembark. When Jesus and his disciples came ashore, he walked with his disciples up the hillside along the seashore, where Jesus was hoping to spend some time teaching his disciples and catching some time of rest, relaxation, refreshment. Now, I know that some of you here at the Beverly Presbyterian Church have visited the traditional site for where Jesus retreated with his disciples. It is a familiar tourist destination, and I know that a number of you did go there a number of years ago with others in the presbytery. Others of you can, I'm sure, imagine a hillside set above the side of a lake, or perhaps the seashore. Jesus and his disciples had not been there long when they caught sight of a great crowd completing their circuitous 10-mile trek to where Jesus and his disciples met. It was a crowd in the thousands. On the one hand, Jesus must have been pleased that people were responding so enthusiastic to what he was saying and doing. On the other hand, though, Jesus expressed concern for the health and well-being of the crowd. "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus asked. Seemingly exasperated, his disciple Philip stated the obvious. "A half year's wages would not be enough to buy enough bread for each one of these people to have a single bite." The gospel writer indicates that Jesus had asked this only to test his disciples. And then Andrew, the brother of Peter and one of the disciples, reported, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Indeed, this was the lunch which a caring mother had packed for her son, something like 5 rolls and a couple of sardines. It was hardly intended for 2, much less thousands. Perhaps some of you have heard the story of a Christian missionary who was hiking the high trails of the Andes Mountains to a remote village in Peru. He found a rock along the road, a curious geode, which he put in his backpack as a souvenir. That evening, he strode into the village to a rather unfriendly welcome. No one offered him a bed. No one asked him to sit by their fire. He learned that a famine had plagued the Indians for more than a month. The people were starving. Each was simply afraid to share amidst so much deprivation. The missionary uttered a prayer for how to help, and he experienced inspiration. Calling Indians around a campfire, he preached God's love in Christ Jesus. And then he said, "I'm going to feed you by making some stone soup. It's tasty. I grew up on it, and you'll like it. It's great." Then the missionary opened his backpack and produced the rock he had found that morning. Each of the Indians scoffed. "Stone soup? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard." "Trust me," the missionary assured them. "See, I brought the stone, but I'm going to need a pot to put it in." Well, an Indian woman quickly volunteered her pot. "And I'll need 2 large buckets of water to boil the stone in." A man, shaking his head as he did so, produced the water. In went the stone, in went the water, and over the fire the pot was suspended. Curious now, villagers began to gather around the pot, peering into its contents. The missionary began to stir the pot and to drool. "You know, stone soup sure is good with carrots." To which an Indian said, "I've got 6 carrots." He quickly fetched them and they were cut up, put into the pot. Then the missionary smelled deeply of the bubbly broth and said, "Some potatoes would add flavor." And from pockets and other hiding places, dozens of spuds appeared. They were quickly added to the soup. Soon people were bringing onions, celery, even bits of meat to top off the pot of stone soup. And within the hour, a community was formed around that pot of stew. All ate, and all were filled as they heard the story of Jesus Christ. There are those who imagine that it was actually something along this line which happened on that hillside above the Sea of Galilee when Jesus fed 5,000 men. When Andrew found the lad with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and this kid gave up his lunch for the group, others, feeling ashamed of their selfishness and their lack of generosity, started to bring forth their loaves and fishes. The result was that 5,000 men, along with their wives and children, were fed. Now, some, I'm sure, would claim that that really isn't a miracle. Really? When you change the hard hearts of men and women, you wouldn't call that a miracle? Jesus has been changing the hearts and minds of people for over 2,000 years. That miracle continues to occur, and it could be occurring in this sanctuary in these very minutes as we gather here. The impossible can not only become possible, it can become reality. Giulia Dolce and I were talking a few days ago, and she remarked that on several occasions, the food bank that she and this congregation maintain has been on the short end of supplies. Things have been looking grim. And people were coming with the hope of obtaining food positions. But then, by some miracle, the foodstuffs begin to appear. People sacrifice just a little more, encourage others to join them in feeding the hungry in this community, and the food appears. Maybe even a merchant comes through. The church's proverbial 5 loaves and 2 fishes end up feeding 100 people who will walk through our church doors here and find nourishment and nutrition. That's a miracle. Is it something along those lines which happened on that hillside above the beach of the Sea of Galilee? Perhaps. I can't discount that. Perhaps it was just the fact that Jesus was able to inspire some overwhelmed and self-consumed people to be forthcoming. And 5,000 men along with women and children were fed. And the amazing thing is that that sort of miracle continues to happen with the church's food bank here every month. People are literally nourished and satisfied because contemporary disciples of Christ Jesus give of themselves so that others might be fed. That which might seem impossible becomes possible and real. That doesn't happen, though. It doesn't happen naturally unless and until people are filled with the love, care, and spirit of Christ Jesus. When the Spirit of Christ Jesus is present, then that which we might imagine to be impossible indeed becomes possible. And good things, incredible, unbelievable, and miraculous things happen. Allow me to pose this question to you. When does 5 plus 2 times 1 equal 12? For those of you who are mathematically inclined or challenged, I believe that 5 plus 2 equals 7. And 7 times 1 equals 7, not 12. There is no way mathematically that 5 plus 2 times 1 is going to equal 12. Yet that is precisely what is suggested in the 6th chapter of John. 5 small barley loaves of bread plus 2 small fishes times 1 Jesus results in 12 baskets of leftovers. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle during the ministry of Jesus which happens to be recorded in each one of the Gospels. A number of Jesus' miracles of healing are recorded in more than one gospel, but this is the sole miracle to appear in all four. This is obviously something significant and important to the disciples of Jesus. Everyone remembered, especially as they were writing down the good news, and it meant a lot to them. In our text for this morning, John notes, seemingly in passing, that the feast of the Passover was near. Now, the Feast of the Passover commemorated the liberation of the children of Israel from the Pharaoh of Egypt more than 1,000 years earlier. Moses had led the children of Israel toward the Red Sea, where he parted the waters to enable the people of Israel to walk through on dry ground, while the Egyptians, in hot pursuit, were engulfed as the Red Sea waters came back together. From there, Moses had led the people on into the wilderness of Sinai. Didn't take long, though, for the people to realize that liberty is a great thing, but without food, it equals death. It was at that point that Moses had been able to provide for the people manna, a substance which people were able to make into something like bread. The prophet Elisha had been able to perform a similar miracle in feeding 100 people. The Jews of Jesus' day were thinking and hoping that the promised Messiah of the Jews would be able to do something similar for them. Hence, when Jesus was able to feed 5,000 with a mere 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, the people sought to make Jesus king. But Jesus, as he had done during his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, withdrew so as to make such a move impossible. Jesus was interested in helping people, serving people, in being a leader of the people. But Jesus had a distinct vision of what was entailed in leading the children of Israel. So in this instance, Jesus withdraws up a mountain by himself. It's reported that during the winter of 1610, that is 3 years after their settlement at Jamestown in Virginia, that the population of Jamestown declined dramatically from about 500 people to around 60. While disease and conflict with the Native Americans did result in some deaths, most of the settlers simply starved. There were abundant supplies of fish, oysters, frogs, fowl, and deer. But these settlers had an urban background, and they were not accustomed to obtaining food from the land. Hence, they starved. There are times when we can act pretty much in the same way. God comes to us continually in the person of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower us. As a loving Father, God awaits the opportunity to meet our needs. But we are not accustomed to receiving from God's loving hand, nor does it occur to us to pray. So we wander about blindly from problem to problem, not unlike those early settlers in Jamestown who starved in the midst of a land of plenty. For what are you hungering? What thirst do you have that needs to be quenched? What need do you yearn to have satisfied. Remember two truths. First, God is in the business of stone soup. He's always encouraging his followers to promote God's interest and to contribute toward the welfare of the saints and the sinners too, for that matter. At times it may not require that much of us. A few carrots here, some onions there, some time spent listening like God listens to our prayers, sharing an uplifting and inspiring word about the work of our Lord with someone who is down. And we can be part of the solution of meeting and fulfilling the needs of our friends and neighbors. If we reach out to others, as God in Christ has reached down to us, then we might just be able to effect miracles in the name of Jesus. We can be, if you will, little saviors. That is, saints and forgiven sinners who spread the love and word of God among our friends and neighbors, offering others small doses of salvation, which can have miraculous and saving power. Then, too, don't discount miracles. The God who created this vast universe with all its galaxies, stars, and planets, including this earthly planet of ours, loves each and every single one of us. He offers us his Son as testimony and proof of just how much and how deeply he cares for us. And sometimes God may just perform a miracle on our behalf of demonstration of that great love, care, concern. God does not let his people starve. Rather, God will feed and nourish us today and unto eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at times we think we have much, a great deal. And indeed we do. But at other times we feel needy, as if our needs are not being sustained and met. Lord, give us trust and confidence that you will provide. You have provided for the children of Israel. You have provided for Jesus and his disciples and 5,000 men, women, and children. And you will provide for us. Help us to believe, to trust, to serve. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.